Okay. Welcome back. We are in the last part of chapter 12 now, a spherical coordinates. So last time we did a little bit of review of polar coordinates and just looked at their implications for cylindrical coordinates in 3D. I posted two things to the website since Thursday last week. Just a few minutes ago, I posted the solutions to homeworks 5 through 8. And earlier, last week, I posted this, which if you want to look at other ways to get the polar angle, the theta, you don't have to use the arctangent one. The arctangent one has four cases, if you think about it carefully, because of the problem of division by zero. So what if your x is zero? If you use arc sine or arc cosine, then there's only two cases to worry about. The only potential downside is that you might have to compute r if you don't already have it. But often when you're going from Cartesian to polar, you want r and theta, so you're going to compute r anyway. Now, interestingly, when the book gets to spherical coordinates, they use an arc cosine type formula when they're figuring out what's called the colatitude. So, okay, spherical coordinates. The way I think of them is as double polar coordinates. This process where you take basically two edges, two legs of a right triangle, and you replace them with a hypotenuse and an angle, you can do that process twice. And that's what you get then for spherical coordinates. This just happens twice. So here's the analogy. So the roles of x, y, r, and theta now become the roles of z, r, rho, and phi. This is a lowercase Greek letter, as is the one that looks kind of like a P. Of course, you probably already knew about the theta. So it's going to be the same picture. And that's how you get the algebraic relations between the coordinates. That's the simplest way for me to think about it. So what would be the implications of this? So over here we're going to have these pairs of equations here. So we're going to have now z is going to be rho cosine of phi, and r is going to be rho sine of phi. So we're just repeating the polar to Cartesian type transformation, but now with different variables. Okay, so now I'm going to plug these in to the cylindrical coordinates. Here's cylindrical. And now I'm going to go from cylindrical to spherical. Just plug in the new formula here for r. There we go. Now, that's the algebra of it. So if you're trying to go from spherical to Cartesian, it's pretty straightforward. The questions here is, what does this mean geometrically? So, geometrically, think about the reverse formula that you would have for rho. Right? Just as r is the square root of x squared plus y squared, rho is going to be the square root of z squared plus r squared. Ah, but r squared is x squared plus y squared. So the rho is the actual distance in three dimensions from the origin to x, y, z. So this is an actual radius for a sphere. Here, this would be a radius for a cylinder, measuring distance to the z-axis, right? But now we're measuring distance to the origin. Theta means the same thing as it meant before. There's no change there. The question then is, what does this phi mean geometrically? So, turn this picture around a little bit. So normally we like to have z pointing up. In a 3D coordinate system, we're supposed to imagine x is coming out of the front of the board, y is going to the right on the board, and z is going up along the board. Okay? So this angle here, we're making an angle with the positive z-axis. Like this. So phi is an angle with the positive z-axis. Just as theta was an angle with the positive x-axis. And you can even cast a little shadow down here, straight down onto the xy plane. And there's your angle theta going from the positive x-axis towards the positive y-axis. If theta is positive. If theta was negative, it would go the other way. And so there's this shadow down here. If you drop the z-coordinate down to zero, that's how you get that shadow line there. So theta has the same meaning as before. Now you just have to interpret this phi. A good name for phi that I've read is co-latitude. If you know a little geography, you know that latitude is the angle you make with the equator. So if you think of the XY plane as being a plane that cuts a sphere in half, there's a north half with positive z and a south half with negative z, then the angle of the equator would not be phi, it would be the complement. So that would be 90 degrees or pi over 2 radians minus phi. That would be latitude. And we think of latitude as being positive in the northern hemisphere, so we'll think of that as positive z, and negative in the southern hemisphere. Negative z. And so it runs from positive 90 degrees at the North Pole to negative 90 degrees at the South Pole. Now this angle here, the co-latitude, has a different range. Right? At the North Pole, the angle with the positive z-axis is going to be zero. We get to Laredo, the angle is about 62.5 degrees because our latitude is 27.5 degrees. We go all the way down to the equator, the angle is 90 degrees. Go all the way down to the South Pole, the angle is 180 degrees.
So in terms of radians, this goes from 0 to pi, whereas latitude goes from negative pi over 2 to positive pi over 2 radians.
So it's a little different than your theta. Theta you can think of as longitude. That's totally fine. Longitude, in geography, we let longitude go from negative 180 to positive 180 degrees, or in radians, negative pi to pi. Although if you want to talk about 330 degrees longitude, you could. I mean, it would mean 330 degrees east from the prime meridian, which is the same as 30 degrees west from the prime meridian. It would just sound a little funny in the context of geography. Okay. And just as we have this this formula here to get a theta, you can use the same kind of formula to get the phi, the co-latitude. Now, the thing is, though, here you had two cases depending on whether y was positive or negative. Now, here r is going to play the role of y. So the r, right, if we restrict our r to be positive, or at least non-negative, zero or positive, then this case never comes up. So we just have one formula. So replace that x with a z, replace that r with a rho. So just as it's convenient in the cylindrical and polar coordinates to restrict your r to be non-negative, so it's literally a distance to the z-axis, you want to restrict your r again to be non-negative, and also restrict your rho to be non-negative. Otherwise, things get confusing pretty quick. If you've worked with negative radii in polar coordinates, you have an idea of what I'm talking about. Imagine two of them being negative. Questions? All right. So let's see now. If we take a Laredo, say, and we work with the geometric interpretations here, geographic. What's theta? It's about negative 99.5 degrees. So radians, do this, right? And what's, and then our co-latitude, so it's 62.5 degrees. Because our latitude is 27.5 degrees north. Okay. So let's see if we can make a little picture of this.
So,
what's going to happen here? So if we use our usual coordinate system, here's the x-axis, here's the y-axis. And, we need a rho, don't we? Should be the Earth's radius, which is 6.38 times 10 to the 6 meters, I think. 6,308 kilometers, something like that. Radius of the Earth. Okay, so let's draw an equator, or at least part of an equator. A little distorted, perhaps. Something like that. Okay, so this is the equator. So this would be a system of two equations. You set the rho equal to the radius of the Earth, and you set z equal to 0. So you're going out to RE here, Earth radius here, and going out to Earth radius here. All right. Now, we make this 62.5 degree angle with the z-axis. What's that going to look like? Okay, so we imagine this. Maybe at this point I want to use another color. So we imagine that angle. And you can think about that as tracing out a cone. If you look at everything that had that angle with the z-axis, you'd get a cone. And this cone would go out to infinity, but we could grab just that one circle right here. So this circle of latitude here would be a system of two equations. So you want phi to be that 62.5 degrees, and you want rho to be the radius of the Earth. And finally, we want to figure out the longitude. So we need to go a little bit more than 90 degrees. We're not going to go towards the y-axis. We're going to go away from the y-axis, because it's a negative angle. We're going to go this way. Now here's the negative y-axis. We need to go a little bit further than that. Nine and a half degrees further. So that painful to draw here. I'm going to attempt to draw this. So we have what would be a semicircle. So if you fix rho to be the radius of the Earth, and you require that the longitude be negative 99.5 degrees, then you get this semicircle that goes from the North Pole to the South Pole. And then where this semicircle of longitude meets this circle of latitude somewhere around here. Laredo in our coordinate system here. Okay. So we can actually figure out the x, y, and z coordinates now. If you agree with me that we put the North Pole at x and y equals 0 and z equals the radius of the Earth, and we put the South Pole at x equals 0, y equals 0, and z equals negative radius of Earth, and then you agree that we put the prime meridian along the x-axis, a circle of longitude in the plane y equals 0. And you agree that you've already agreed on the North Pole and South Pole, so you have to agree that the equator is at z equals 0. I'll put my little remark about the prime meridian. That would be a different semicircle where theta is 0. Okay. Here's another picture. Slightly better. This one is not getting as careful about trying to pinpoint Laredo, but it's a better picture of the big picture. Better overview. And then you can have your, maybe this is theta equals 0. Let's put it in the middle. Theta equals 0. Theta equals negative 90 degrees. Theta equals negative 45 degrees. Maybe this is theta equals 30 degrees. And then over here, you can have theta equals 60 degrees and theta equals 90 degrees. Something like that. Alright. So, London somewhere around here-ish. And then the radio is kind of a little bit more than 90 degrees on the back side of this thing. And along this latitude. Okay. Anyways. X, Y, and Z.
plug the numbers in.
So you may want to, as an intermediate step, just go ahead and get the radius and multiply by the cosine. Sine of V. So you can get those two first.
Those only depend on longitude and latitude.
And then once you have the R, you can plug it in to get your X and Y, using also the longitude. So, in our picture here, we went a little bit more than 90 degrees away from the x-axis, and we were going away from the positive y-axis. So we ended up with x a little bit negative and y a lot negative. Right? And if you compare here, yeah, they're both negative, and y is about 6 times as big as x. So here you've got the... We're not too far off from the negative y-axis over here. So these check out. And then since and you probably shouldn't be surprised that y is bigger than z, because we've got that 62.5 degree angle there. If we were all the way down to the equator, z would be 0. Since it's roughly a 60 degree angle, very roughly a 60 degree angle at the North Pole, right, and the cosine of 60 degrees is a half, and you look, yeah, that's about half the radius of the Earth. Okay. Whereas y is a lot bigger fraction of the radius of the Earth. Because we're not too far off from the negative y-axis. We went about 9.5 degrees further with this angle, but then we also need to go up 27.5 degrees as we go towards the z-axis. So, not too surprising.
Questions or comments about this?
Yeah.
Over there it says z equals r. Should it be z equals z? It could be cosine.
Yes, thank you.
That's a weird one.
is z.
Other questions? Okay, here's a question. What would this look like?
How can we figure out
what that looks like? Just measures distance to the origin. Now, r, distance to the z-axis, depends on both distance to the origin and your co-latitude. But there's no dependence on longitude here. So this thing will have the z-axis as an axis of symmetry, just like a ball with a z-axis going right through the middle has the z-axis as an axis of symmetry. Revolve it around the z-axis all you want, it won't change the shape of this surface. There's no dependence on theta, no dependence on your longitude. Okay. Well, let's go a little further. What do we got here? Z squared plus r squared, right? Is rho squared, just because we have a right triangle. Let's take advantage of that. Okay, let's square both sides of this. Right, so we're going to have z squared plus r squared equals rho squared, which will be 1 plus r squared, which is 1 plus 2r plus r squared. Okay? All right. Well, I think we can solve this for z. Z is going to be, after we cancel those r squareds, it's going to be then 1 plus 2r is z squared, take a square root, and we get plus or minus, right? Do a little algebra. What would that look like? Well, start by just graph it. Using made-up axes, right? Just think about what it would look like if you had z and r axes. And I don't care which one's vertical, which one's horizontal, but I put z vertical because in the final picture I'd like to have z vertical. I'll save myself a rotation or reflection. Okay, so just graph these. It's basically a square root function. Plug in r equals 0, you get the square root of 1. Good. So a square root function, it gets shallower as r gets, as your input gets bigger. So we're going to have something like this. They never get, there's no horizontal asymptote, but the curve does get shallower and shallower. Okay. And now we just need to revolve it around the z-axis. So now we can kind of just imagine revolving those curves around. So try and make it 3D again. So something like this.
there'd be another one on the bottom, right? Something like that. You'd get these two surfaces that each have a little pointy tip, because your square root graph has a vertical tangent line right here. I'm not sure I quite made it vertical, but it does get vertical. You can check that the derivative blows up there.
Look at these things. Any requests for another formula that we should investigate? If we investigate in class, then it doesn't go in the homework, right? I've got at least one to put on the homework. But I suppose if you think of the same one I'm thinking of, then it won't go on the homework. Thing on the y-axis, you'd have to change your coordinate system a little bit, right? But so you want to have something like this. Okay, so here's x, z. We just need to make them up. So you just have, how about I call it capital R, which is now distance to the y-axis. Okay, and capital rho looks exactly like a capital R, so I won't do that. But I'll use a capital P. Okay, and so then that would be No, I don't need to. I can just use the lowercase rho because it's still going to be the same. Okay, no problem. Okay, so we're looking at now rho equals 1 plus r for a different r. Well, there's no trouble because you still have this. And now, if you're looking at distance to the y-axis, we talked about this last time, it's an x squared plus a z squared. Okay, so over here, that means that rho squared would be y squared plus capital R squared. So
So it's gonna look the same. So if you want to then so you put all this together and what do you get? Y is equal to plus or minus R. Right? Everything's the same. The lowercase r measured distance to the z-axis. I made up a capital R measuring distance to the y-axis. So nothing changes. So. All right. Challenge is to try and sketch this surface. So as usual, you want your r and your theta, sorry, your r and your rho to be non-negative. And I'm also going to restrict now theta to be between 0 and positive 360 degrees. I want now z to equal theta on this surface. Okay. Now, for your second problem, we'll do a little bit more of this kind of thing where we convert to Cartesian. You can Laredo, London, and Tokyo are three vertices of a triangle inside the Earth. Its interior angles, right? There should be three of them. And figure out its area. We did parallelogram areas before. It was on homework 8. A triangle is always half a parallelogram. So you can figure out. So you need to set up some kind of coordinate system in order to get your x, y, and z coordinates for those three points. And then you do the vector stuff that we've done before. Figure out the geometry of this triangle. Okay. questions about this.
Well, we got time for one more surface here. Let's look at this one. This be like. Answer that question, you have to go back to the definition. So you have to imagine as you change phi, your colatitude, from 0 all the way over to pi, right, the radius has to the rho, that kind of radius, right, has to increase from 0 to pi.
Let's try and make a picture here.
Let's have some angles here. So maybe in 30-degree increments, right?
It's not too crude.
Okay, so pi over 6 is 30 degrees. 30 degrees, 60 degrees, 90 degrees, 120 degrees, 150 degrees, and 180 degrees. Okay? So in radians, right, that's going to be multiples of pi over 6. Okay? So let's say that this far out is pi, all right? Well, okay, so here you're going to go 5, you're going to go out pi, right? You want to this rho to be pi. Okay, so you're going to be here. But at 90 degrees, right, where phi is pi over 2, you want rho to equal phi. So you're only going to be here. You're only going to be halfway. When rho is equal to phi is equal to pi a third, you're only going to be a third of the way. And here you're only going to be a sixth of the way. And here you're going to be two-thirds of the way out to pi. Here you're going to be five-sixths of the way out to pi. So you can sort of connect the dots now. It's a spiral. And then, imagine now, again, there's no theta dependence here. This doesn't depend on your longitude at all. So this is the axis, which I've drawn pointing in a funny way. Oh well, that's your axis of symmetry. Okay? So revolve the thing around. You get something like this. Okay, but now we are out of time, so you can make up more spherical equations in your own time.